Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be learning Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Zayin, Chapter 17. Before we begin today's perek, let's recall that before Shmuel recalled Shaul's attention to the imperative to destroy Amalek, Shaul had become focused on his vendetta against the Plishtim. While he and his army had defeated them at the battle in Michmas, the defeat was not complete, since Shaul's questions to the Urim V'Tumim had gone unanswered, and Achia, the Kohen, was hesitant about sending the people into battle without clear communication from Hashem that the battle would be won. Since then, Shaul has defeated other enemies of Israel, Amalek among them, but the Plishtim remained a thorn in his side. We do see that Shaul has made some strides in his battles against the Plishtim, whereas in the prior confrontation, much was made of the inequity in terms of the numbers of soldiers and ammunition. In the battle about to take place here, no mention is made of these discrepancies, which leads us to believe that that huge disparity no longer existed. Furthermore, this battle is going to take place in Eretz Yehuda, much closer to the border of the land of the Plishtim than the last battle, which took place in the region of Binyamin, further to the north. So it seems as though Shaul has been successful in forcing the Plishtim to retreat significantly, albeit not entirely. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. Vayasfu Plishtim et machanehem la milchama, vayasfu socho asher liyuda, vayachanu ben socho uven azeka be'efes damim. The Plishtim gathered their troops for battle at Socho, which belonged to Yehuda, and camped between Socho and Azeka in Efes Damim. Socho today is just south of Ramat Beit Shemesh. It's about a 5-minute drive from where I live, and it's actually a very popular family hike, especially in the early spring when the termosim, the beautiful purple lupines, are in bloom. And Azeka is about 2 kilometers away from Socho. It's actually today part of Park Britannia, and a monument has been set up there to the battle that we're about to see between David and Goliath. There are steps that lead up to the top of the tell. Again, this is in Park Britannia. You can just put Tel Azeka into Waze. And on the steps, on the risers of the steps, so not the part you step on, but the vertical part between the parts you step on, the psukim of this entire perek have been engraved, beginning at the bottom, so that you feel a mounting sense of drama as you walk up the steps and read the psukim, and then when you reach the top, the climax of the confrontation between David and Goliath is carved onto a large stone overlooking the Elah Valley, where the battle took place. Efes Damim has not been identified as an archaeological site. Perhaps for this reason, while many commentators do translate it as the name of a place, others, such as Rabbi Yishaya Mitrani, suggest that it was called this because it was a place where blood was spilled and refers really to the Valley of Elah. Shaul and his army camped in the Valley of Elah and set up for battle against the Plishtim, the two armies facing one another, each on a mountaintop, and the valley lay between them. In verses 4 through 7, Dalet through Zayin, the text introduces us to Goliath, the champion of the Plishtim, who hails from Gat and describes his impressive and weighty armor. Contemporary archaeological findings indicate that Goliath was actually wearing a sampling of weaponry captured in previous military campaigns, sort of a hodgepodge of armor and weaponry from different nations, which was designed to intimidate his opponents and demonstrate how invincible he is, that he has conquered all these strongly protected other nations. There's also a suggestion that given the relative weights of his armor, he would have been somewhat top-heavy, which David would later use to his advantage. In terms of Goliath's height, how tall was Goliath really? We don't have a precise translation from the measurements given in the text to today's measurements. They vary from anywhere from about 9.5 feet tall to 12.5 feet tall. So quite large. Pasuk Ched vaya'amod vayikra el ma'achot Yisrael vayomer lahem. Lama teitzu la'aroch milchama? Halo anochi haplishti va'atem avadim l'shaul bru lachem ish. Why do you all have to, he stood and called out to the people of Israel, why should you all go forth to wage battle? I will represent the Plishtim, and you, servants of Shaul, choose for yourselves a man who will face me. If he succeeds in battle against me and strikes me down, we will become your subjects. But if I succeed against him and strike him down, you will become our subjects and serve us. Goliath was belittling the Jews by calling them the servants of Shaul, implying that in any event, they aren't free, so they could just as easily serve the Plishtim as Shaul. The idea of a champion stepping forward to challenge a single opponent from the other side was a common strategy among foreign nations at that time, but this was unfamiliar to the Jewish army, who were somewhat baffled by this strategy. To the Philistines, a battle of champions represented the will of the gods. If their champion won, the gods were on their side, and they would easily defeat their opponent. And Goliath concluded with a mocking taunt, Vayomer haplishti, Pasuk Yud, verse 10, Vayomer haplishti, ani cheirafti et ma'archot Yisrael hayom, hayom hazeh, tnuli ish v'nilachama yachad, I challenge and humiliate the ranks of Israel. Come on, send out a man and let us duel. Rashi interprets this as a personal challenge to Shaul. Brulachem ish, choose for yourselves a man, is a reference to Shaul, who's the chief warrior of Israel. And let him come out and fight me. Shaul's response here stands in sharp contrast to his response to the initial threat that he faced from Nachash Melech Ammon, when his divinely inspired righteous anger ignited the people. Here, Vayishma Shaul v'chol Yisrael et divrei haplishti ha'ele, Vayichatu vayir'u me'od. Shaul and the people, taking their cue from him, panicked and were terrified by the words of the plishti. The difference in Shaul's confidence and his leadership ability, once the spirit of Hashem has departed from him, is only too evident. In verses 12 through 15, as interpreted by Malbim, the Navi explains why David was not initially at the battlefield with Shaul, especially since he had become his arms bearer. As we had seen in the last parak, we would have expected to see him accompanying Shaul. So the Pasuk tells us that David is the youngest of Yishai's 8 sons, and Yishai was elderly. It was the custom in a large family with an aging parent that the elder sons would go out to battle, while the younger ones remained at home to help their father. So the 3 eldest sons of Yishai, Eliab, Avinadav, and Shammah, had followed Shaul out to battle, while David remained at home. In general, the arrangement was that David divided his time between caring for his father's sheep and serving Shaul. On the battlefront, the Plishti would come out and repeat his taunt every morning and evening, and the matter remained at a standstill for 40 days. So his sons having been gone for over a month, Yishai sent David to the battlefield to bring supplies to them and to their commanders and to check on their welfare. Shaul and his men were in the Elah Valley. They were engaged in skirmishes with the Plishtim. David left early in the morning, leaving the sheep in the care of a guard, and arrived at the checkpoint just as the troops were gathering and sounding the war cry. David left his packages with the baggage keeper and ran toward the battle line, where he greeted his brothers. And as he was speaking with them, Goliath, the Plishti champion, came forward for his usual daily taunt, which David now heard for the first time. As they saw Goliath approaching, the Jewish soldiers were terrified and began to retreat. And David heard the men talking to one another, saying, "Did you see that man who came marching up? He came up to challenge and humiliate us. Anyone who strikes him down will be richly rewarded by the king. Moreover, the king will give his daughter's hand in marriage to anyone who defeats him, and his father's house will be exempt from all taxes." And David, to confirm what he had overheard, asked the men, "Vayomer David al ha'anashim ha'omdim imo le'mor, ma ye'ase li'ish asher yake et ha'plishti halaz, ve'hisir cherpa me'al Yisrael. Ki mi haplishti he'arel hazeh, ki chirif ma'archot Elokim chayim." Verse 26, "What will be done for the one who defeats this plishti and saves Israel from disgrace? For who is this plishti, this uncircumcised one who dares humiliate the ranks of the living God?" And the people responded, confirming what he had heard. Eliav, David's oldest brother, heard David speaking with the people, and true to his nature, as we learned, became angry with David, saying, "Why have you come here? And with whom did you leave the sheep to wander away in the desert? I know your wicked intentions. You only want to see the battle for yourself. David responded, What have I done? I merely asked a question. And he turned away from his brother and again asked his question and received the same answer. And rumor of the questions David was asking reached Shaul, and he was brought before Shaul. Pasuk Lamed Bet 32. Vayomer David el Shaul. Al yipol lev adam alav. Avdecha yelech v'nilcham im haplishti hazeh. And David said to Shaul, Let no man lose heart. Your servant will go out and fight against this plishti. To which Shaul responded, Vayomer Shaul el David. Lo tuchal lalechet al haplishti hazeh lehilachem imo? Ki na'ar ata. Behu ish milchama mineurav. You can't go out and fight against him. You're only an untrained youth. And he is an experienced warrior from the time of his youth. David responded with the history that we alluded to in the last parak. Why, when I was shepherding my father's sheep, they were attacked by a lion and a bear, which I killed with my bare hands. I will kill this plishti just as I killed the lion and the bear, for he has humiliated the ranks of the living God. The implication here is twofold. First, that David cares for the Jewish people just as he did for his sheep, and will similarly rescue them from any threat they face. It's no accident that the greatest leaders of the Jewish people started out as shepherds, and indeed continue to be referred to as such. Secondly, David expresses confidence. He will be able to defeat Goliath, for Goliath is guilty of mocking the army of Hashem, and therefore he is deserving of death. David is not fighting this battle out of personal motives, but for the greater glory of Hashem and his nation. He doesn't attribute his victories to his own strength. He says in Pasuk Lamed Zayin 37, Vayomer David, Hashem, asher hitzilani miyad ha'ari umiyad hadov, hu yatzileni miyad haplishti hazeh. Hashem, who saved me from the lion and the bear, he will save me from the hands of this plishti. Vayomer Shaul el David, lech v'hashem yiyeh imach. If that's the case, said Shaul, then go and may Hashem be with you. Pasuk Lamed Chet 38, Vayalbesh Shaul et David Madav, Venatan Kova Nechoshet al Rosho, Vayalbesh Oto Shiryon. Vayachgor David et Charbo Me'al Madav, Vayoel Alechet, Ki lo nisa, Vayomer David el Shaul, Lo uchal alechet ba'ile, Ki lo nisiti, Vayisirem David Me'alav. Shaul dressed David in his own uniform. He placed a helmet on his head and dressed him in armor. David girded himself with his sword over his uniform, and he tried to walk, but he was unaccustomed to the armor. And David said to Shaul, I cannot walk in these, for I'm inexperienced. And David took them off. While the literal meaning of the pasuk really sort of charmingly illustrates Shaul's concern for David and David's innocence of warfare and all its accoutrements, the Midrash adds another layer of meaning to this episode, one that marks the beginning of a turning point in the relationship between the two men. The Midrash notes that Shaul was much larger than David. Mishichmo v'mala gavoa mikol ha'am. Shaul was head and shoulders above everyone else. When he put his royal garments on David, they immediately shrunk to fit David perfectly. Shaul took note of this, and he placed the evil eye on David, the Ein Hara. Suspicion entered his mind for the first time that perhaps David was destined to rule in his place. David perceived the change in Shaul's manner and immediately divested himself of the clothing, saying, Lo nisiti, I didn't try to take them from you. I would never do anything to cause you pain. Rashi offers another explanation for the phrase Lo nisiti, based on the Aramaic Targum, the translation, Nisiti from the room Nes, meaning miracle. The miracle will not be as great if I am saved wearing this armor. David took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the riverbed and placed them in his shepherd's pouch, and with his slingshot in his hand, advanced towards Goliath. Goliath approached David with his shield bearer ahead of him, and when he caught sight of David, he began to mock him. Vayomer haplishti, pasuk mem gimel 43. Vayomer haplishti el David, hakelev anochi, ki ata ba'elai b'maklot, vayikalel haplishti et David be'elohav. Am I a dog that you come out to fight me with sticks? And he cursed David by his gods. Come here, said Goliath, and I will give your flesh to the birds of prey and the animals of the field to devour. Vayomer David, Pasuk Mem Hey, 45. Vayomer David al HaPlishti. Ata ba elai becherev uvechanit uvechidon. Ve'anochi ba elecha b'shem Hashem tzvakot Elokei ma'archot Yisrael asher cherafta. And David responded fearlessly to Goliath. You come out to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. I come to you in the name of Hashem, the God of the hosts of Israel, whom you have mocked. Today, Hashem will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and sever your head from your body. And I will give the corpses of the Plishti soldiers to the birds of prey and the wild animals. And all the land will know, Ki Yesh Elokim bi Israel. There is a God in Israel. Vayid'u kol hakahal hazeh, ki lo becherev uvechanit Yehoshia Hashem, ki lashem hamilchama v'natan etchem biyadenu. All assembled here will know that Hashem saves without regard for sword or spear, for the battle belongs to Hashem, and he has given you into our hands. Having done with the exchange of insults, Goliath rose and advanced toward David, and David rushed forward into the fray. David thrust his hand into his pouch, pulled out a stone, and aimed his slingshot, striking Goliath directly in the forehead. Radak questions, what about Goliath's helmet? How could David's stone have pierced his heavy armor? He offers several possible solutions. When Goliath had threatened to give David's body to the birds of prey, he had looked upwards and his helmet had shifted, leaving his forehead exposed. Another approach is that the stone was guided by divine providence, Hashgacha Pratit, and there's no need to even ask the question, because anything willed by Hashem can happen. Thus, it's possible that the stone miraculously penetrated Goliath's helmet, or perhaps there was a small opening in the helmet, and Hashem guided the stone precisely to that point. Goliath fell forward, face down, perhaps due to the weight of his armor. The Midrash provides an image of an angel pushing him down so that his mouth would land in the dirt as punishment for having spoken words of mockery against Hashem and his people. David severed his head using Goliath's own sword, and when the Plishtim saw that their hero was dead, they began to run away, pursued valiantly by the Israelite army all the way to Gat and Ekron into the land of the Plishtim. And the Jews plundered the spoils of the Plishtim. David brought the head of Goliath to Yerushalayim and stored his weapons in his own tent. And the parak concludes with a somewhat puzzling epilogue. Pasuk Nun Hei 55. V'chirot Shaul et David yotzei likrat ha-plishti, amar el Avner sar ha-tzava. Ben mi ze ha-na'ar, Avner? Vayomer Avner, chei nafshecha ha-melechim yadati. When Shaul saw David going out to fight the Plishti, he asked Avner ben Ner, his general, whose son is this youth? And Avner replied, by your life, O king, I do not know. And the king instructed him to find out, whose son is this young man? And when David returned from striking the Plishti, Avner brought him before Shaul, with the head of Goliath still in his hand, and Shaul asked, whose son are you, young man? And David said, the son of your servant, Yishai of Beit Lechem. Now, we know Shaul knew who David was and who his father was, despite the suggestions of Radak and Ralbag that a king might legitimately be so preoccupied with affairs of state that he can't keep track of every member of his household, especially one who came and went, as David did. But the problem with this suggestion is that Shaul had no trouble recognizing David when he first arrived at the battlefield. Rabbeinu Yeshaya suggests that perhaps the Ruach Ra'ah, the evil spirit, had affected his memory. Mahari Kara offers the opinion that once David had removed Shaul's armor, Shaul thought that meant he wasn't going to fight. So when he saw David going out to meet Goliath, he was startled, as was Avner. Radak rephrases Shaul's question to mean, was his father a hero? Find out about his father. Was he a gibor chayil that David might have inherited this quality? And he then offers the Midrashic interpretation that Shaul, who had become suspicious of David as his possible rival for the kingship, wanted to know if his father was descended from Peretz, the son of Yehudah who was destined for the kingship. Others suggest that he was now concerned about David's lineage since he had promised his daughter in marriage to the man who would defeat Goliath. This encounter bridges the divide between the relationship between Shaul and David prior to the encounter with Goliath and the dysfunction that will begin to plague that relationship in the coming prakim. Shaul, indeed, now views David from a different perspective, not seeing in him the innocent and talented youth who soothed his bitter spirit, rather through the lens of the Ruach Ra'ah, the evil spirit, with growing awareness of David's qualifications for the kingship. Thank you for learning together Li'ilui Nishmot Imhotenu Hayikarot, Esther Oppenheimer Alea HaShalom and Sarah Schenker Alea HaShalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.